Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live. It's Friday, November the 4th. Hope you have had a good week. We've had a great one around here, and hope and pray it'll be a great weekend. And joining me for my great Friday is Dr. Jim Burns and Dr. Jill Hubbard. How you guys doing?
Hello, guys.
Hey, always great to be with you all.
Yep.
When you say doctor, I always think it's medical. People ask me sometimes medical advice, I say I'm terrible at that. Please don't ask me that.
Yeah.
It's called a PhD, not a MD.
You deserve it.
Right.
I want to start with the scriptures, James 1:19, and it says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." I really think he meant quick to listen to New Life. I think that was part of that. But really, couldn't we all benefit from a little more listening and caring about what we're hearing and not being so quick to defend and explain? You know, they've done research on when, I don't know the way it works the other way, but I do know they did the research, I've done the research, on when a woman says something that she sees that needs to change in a man, the research says that when he defends himself and explains why, the effect is absolutely negative 10 for the person. But when he says, "Oh, wow, that must be horrible to see. I hear you saying I'm doing this." When he lets her know, "I hear you," lets her know, "I care about how you feel," you don't even need to defend or explain. That's what she was going for. And by the way, when a woman has the last, she will always have the last word in marriage. And when she's had the last word, if you bring up something else, that's a whole other conversation that she's going to have the last word on. So you just want to be sure you know what you're doing there. All right, we are on. We've got calls lined up here at 1-800-229-3000. And I want to mention this, that Restore is going to be next weekend. And a lot of people say, "Well, why should I do something? He's the one that had the problem." All right, so if you were driving a car, let's say he was driving, and he crashed that car because he was a horrible driver, and you got injured. Well, you wouldn't say, "Hey, don't treat me. He's the one that had the crash." No, you would say, "Hey, treat me before him, because he's never going to learn to drive." See what I'm saying? So you deserve help. And trauma is often what happens when somebody's unfaithful.
Well, yeah, it's like you, I love your analogy. It's like you were crashed into.
Yeah.
Right?
That's
and
right.
So it restores a time to tend to your wounds.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And, you know, we say things like, if he was unfaithful, it's not about you. And what we're trying to say is, you know, he would have done this no matter who he's married to. But when you hear that, it's not about you. When that happened to me, I'm thinking, yeah, but it happened. I was the one married to this person. And so it had to be about me. My pain is about me. But anyway, the whole point of that is just to say, you didn't cause this. This was a problem far beyond anything you did. All right, we're going to take a break and come right back with Jim Burns, Jill Hubbard. Halloween, she dressed up as a Jill-o-lantern. I just think that's fantastic. And Jim, did you dress up at all?
Yeah, I was in sweats and a sweatshirt and slippers, and I passed out candy. and I was a bald-headed old guy.
So you dressed like a guy that was in shape. Did you feel like a phony or anything like that?
No, I felt comfortable. Much more comfortable than what Joe was wearing.
Yes, all right. You were.
We'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. I want to, before we go to our calls, and hold on, folks, we're going to get to you. I want you to hear this story from Keith on how his holidays have been different over the years because of New Life. Terry, let's play this.
Keith from Florida. Yeah. 10 years ago, I found myself in a horrible spot, trapped with sexual integrity issues and not having any way to resolve them. And I found New Life Ministries and Every Man's Battle. And from that, everything changed. Had I not found New Life, I doubt that I would have had another holiday with my family, let alone 10 more. And I'm blessed to still be married to my wife, with 3 kids and 7 grandchildren. And those blessings, every time that we celebrate the holidays, whether it be Thanksgiving or the Christmas holidays, are wonderful and special. So I am thankful for having found this ministry, Every Man's Battle, Intimacy in Marriage, and a number of other activities that we've done with this marvelous ministry. New Life touches people in many different ways, whether it be the radio, our help over our 1-800-NEW-LIFE line, our counseling network, our intensives. And I know that when I give to New Life, I feel very thankful for what they've done for me. But not only for me, but for many people out there that are lost, in need of healing, and seemingly can't find it anywhere. And that's what you can find with this marvelous, marvelous ministry. So God bless. Enjoy these wonderful holidays. Thank you.
Well, I think that just about says it all. I mean, I'm grateful for him.
And, you know, his words, he changed the trajectory of his life and his family because he made a courageous decision to go get help.
Yep.
Many ways, that's what New Life offers every day, 24/7.
And he ends up saying us and we at New Life because he's become such a part of all that we do. He's a great supporter, and, his wife is just amazing. But, you know, she didn't just say, I know you didn't mean to do it or something. She demanded he do something, and he did. And so that's the combination. I hope and pray, just like his wife, that if you have been hurt, you will attend Restore next weekend in Washington, D.C. It could change everything for you. All right, let's go to our calls, and let's start with, how about we start over here with Marie, Orlando, Florida, listening on Sirius XM, channel 131, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, Marie, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's going on?
A little confused. My husband has a bad case of Parkinson's. It's very advanced.
Okay.
And he also has a serious problem with his heart and his legs, and he's had multiple surgeries. Anyway, he is 69 years old, and he still demands to have sex once a week, whether he needs it or not, which he always says he needs it. He says he has to have it, but he doesn't work anymore. Where he can't hold an erection.
He's impotent.
And yes, thank you.
Okay.
This is kind of graphic, so I don't know.
Well, you know what? You don't need to. Well, you don't need to be graphic, because here's what I would say.
I'm not.
He has a common problem. Things don't work, and sometimes when things don't work, people are asking for other things, because we do want this to be on radio.
Other methods.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so I'm really glad you called, because I think this is such an important issue from a lot of different angles. And one angle is that he is demanding sex. So now that means, of course, that it isn't being done the way it's meant to be done, where two people come together loving each other and really experiencing a bonding experience, because that's what they both want to do. I've heard people say this, Marie. A man will say, look, I can demand this. The Bible says that you shouldn't withhold sex. And I say to that man, now, if all you have to get your wife to have sex with you is a Bible verse, that means there's a problem here that needs to be dealt with. And you're the man, you're the leader, so lead both of you to get help for the problem. So that's my opinion of whenever there's a situation like this. If a man is a leader, you need to be... If you're a leader and the house is on fire, you're not going to wait for somebody to call the fire department. You'll do it. And you need to lead both of you to find help to figure out how to make this a wonderful experience for both of you. Because surely there is a way to be comfortably sexual with each other, even when intercourse isn't possible. And many times it isn't possible because of things going on with the woman, many times with the man. But the question is, can someone help us find a way to be sexually intimate that's enjoyable, even though neither of us or one of us is having a struggle? But I want to hear Jill's thoughts on this. Jill, what are you thinking?
Okay. Can you just let me say one thing, though? I just pulled up in my driveway, and I have to go back in the house where he is, and I can't talk anymore now. Would it be possible to have someone call me, maybe? I really need somebody to talk to.
And you can listen to the program, too, at another time also. But yeah, we will. We've got your phone number, and we will call you. And I'm really glad you called. And again, we'll call you.
Was there one more thing you wanted to add, though?
Yeah. Did you
want
to add anything else,
or was it just that?
There's a whole lot more.
Okay.
There's a whole lot more, and I really need somebody to talk to about it.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, probably too. You probably need to get a little counseling there, so that it, you know, it's not just a conversation, but somebody following up. You know, I did this, that didn't work, and come back the next week. Okay. Well, here's what we said I'd do. I tried that didn't work, and we'll try to connect you with that. But we'll call you and give you some help. But right now, on the issue of a man that is having difficulty having sex and demanding sex, let's hear from both you, Jill, and Jim, what you're thinking that might be helpful to her when she hears this later on.
Right. So, Steve, what you said about the demanding part, yeah, that hit me too, because when someone is demanding, we automatically bristle, right? Because it's feeling like they're not really caring about us as a person, right? If I step back, I imagine this man in this state, his body is falling apart. He just wants some moments of pleasure, right? He probably feels less of a man, too, because so many men associate being able to be sexual with manhood, right? Which is a misnomer, but anyway, right?
Very, very, very much affected by his illness.
Yes, yes. And so he's just grasping, and it's like the least you could do for me is help me to have pleasure, because I am hurting. And we know when people are in pain or hurting or have medical things, they become very self-focused, even if they weren't that way before. And it's worse if they were that way before. So they become very self-focused. So, Marie, I think that if you could step back, have some empathy for him to see that he's having a hard time seeing past that, and in a more caring way, talk about the demandingness. And sometimes we have to give people a little bit of what they are wanting, meaning I want to find a way to have sex with you too. Let's really work on.
This has been going for like 5 years.
Yeah. So I want to find a way that's better for both of us, right? I want to give you what you want, but it would be so much easier if I could have a little bit of what I want too in this process. And so, you know, maybe it's talking to doctors. There are doctors that specialize in sex therapy and doing things to help. Talking with his Parkinson's doctor and seeing if he can recommend someone. Going those routes. So
I'm
that
sorry,
you,
I'm going to have to get off.
Oh, that's
phone.
Fine. Okay. We're going to keep talking, right? Yeah. But going those routes, you've got to exhaust everything, because what happens is couples get in these patterns, they get entrenched, they keep doing the same thing over and over again. The woman feels so disheartened and unloved and all of those things, so then she goes to her corner, he's in his corner, and then they do the bare minimum. And it just is not a good recipe.
Well, and you know, she said this has been going on for 5 years, and no doubt it is a medical issue. Plumbing, you know, what we'll call the plumbing.
Yes.
Typically, especially when somebody cannot get an erection, there's ways for that to get help. It's a medical issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think she was going to tell us, and she didn't, but I think she was going to say, well, he's – and that's embarrassing. So a lot of times men don't want to get the kind of help. But the truth is that's something that's very – easy to handle. The people that I know who I some of the greatest sex therapists in the world are Cliff and Joyce Penner.
Mm-hmm.
And what they've often said to me about folks who are either ill or sick or are you know, not experiencing, you know, their full pleasure, they said, you know, these are the easiest things to fix. Sometimes it's simple. It's medical. It's taking a medication that really is quite a simple thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here he is asking her or demanding her to be willing to be sexual with him. And yet she's saying he is not willing to get help for both of them. And that's really sad, because if he had the attitude, you know, it's one thing to know you have a problem and really want it to get better. But when there's no willingness.
Yeah.
Then what can happen?
Yeah,
nothing.
You're right. And sometimes, you know, a man might not listen to his wife, but he'll listen to a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So is there a way for when they go on I mean, even the people who are dealing with his Parkinson's know this issue. So
if they could recommend.
Yeah. And so she says she's not going to win that moment probably. But, you know, can you recommend anything? Is there anything, you know, medical, or is there someone, you know, we could talk to, or even I could go talk to for him? You know, that might work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Well, I tell you, I'm really glad that she called, because more and more people, it's not a 5-year problem, it's a 15-year problem. And I don't care how long it's been, I really believe with the right kind of help, in most cases, there can be a restoration of that sexuality, the sexual intimacy part. And it doesn't mean that you're going to have intercourse or that it's going to be unbelievably fabulous. Mm-hmm. What it might be is enjoyable.
Yeah.
Enjoyable.
And sometimes it's right thinking. You know, I like to call it a theology of healthy sexuality. I mean, God created male and female. God created our sexuality. God created pleasure. Mm-hmm. And he created pleasure in a different way for a woman than for a man. But that's his creation. And and sometimes I think maybe the way we were raised, or the issues that, you know, came up when we were younger, or, you know, it could be abuse, it could be other types of things. But we miss the fact that God created our sexuality, and we are to embrace it. And part of that is embrace the pleasure.
Sometimes not only embrace it, integrate it.
Yeah, yeah.
Into
that's
a healthy,
that's actually a better
whole
word.
Versus keep it separate and apart. Let's talk to Renee, Detroit, Michigan, watches, listens on the YouTube channel, the New Life Live YouTube channel. Hi, Renee. How are you? Renee? Well, we may have a disconnection with Detroit.
I'm here.
Oh,
good.
Yay.
Great.
All right. Well, you hear the music. I went to you not aware the music was coming. So hold on, and we'll get to your issue right after this. You're listening to New Life Live. There is Restore next week if you've been impacted by the lack of sexual integrity. That's for you as a woman. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Also, if there's just something that has always been a mystery of why it hurts or what happened, We can find a coach or a counselor to help you find a path. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or you go to newlife.com. We really do want to help you with whatever it is that you're struggling with, and we'll do more of that right after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back and we're talking with Renee. Well, we're not talking with her yet. She says she's there, but now, Renee, tell us what's going on with you there in Detroit, Michigan.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Thank You're God welcome. For all of you, all of your wisdom, counsel. My question is about offense.
Okay.
And I offended my niece. And
how'd you do that? What happened?
Her dad denied her as a child, and I kind of just said something about it, which I didn't know that it would cause such a uproar, because I strongly believe, you know, that that is your dad. That's what I said. You know that's your dad. You know that's your dad. And then she just kept, well, why would you say that? Who's saying he's not my dad? And then I said, you know, she just kept getting more upset. I was like, just forget it. That is your dad. And then when she was getting so upset, I made reference to, well, you should have had blood tests. And I think that's what causes the offense.
And,
that's what
and why were you saying all this to her?
Because I was afraid she was going to hear it from others even more.
And you felt like that was your job to take care of that?
Well, I wanted to protect her.
Did you want to protect her?
I did. I didn't want her to be hurt when she heard it from other people.
But she was hurt when she heard it from you.
Yes, and so...
So there was some kind of miscalculation there on what would hurt her and what... wouldn't. Because she got hurt.
I don't. She got hurt, and then when I found out she was hurt, I tried to reach out and call, apologize. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
You know.
So you tried to make it right once she did get hurt, which is great.
Yeah,
that's good. Yeah.
But she
what's the question? Okay. So what's the question for us then? Yeah.
She won't
what's
talk
the question
to me,
for
but she's talking to everybody else, and everybody else is saying, just leave her alone, give her time. But I'm thinking, okay, how much time do I give her before I just go say, look, I am so sorry.
She
just won't talk to me. It's been 2 months.
Well,
they're saying, I don't know.
Okay, so we want to talk to you. We want to talk to you about
Renee,
this. Jill, go ahead.
Renee, it sounds like you are a person who is a truth teller and likes things to be out in the open and is very direct and even maybe matter of fact about things. And those are good qualities and exhibit strength. Sometimes those qualities can be mistimed or with some people who have a harder time handling directness, they don't receive it very well. And so sometimes when you have a need to get the truth out in the open, there is maybe a neglect of reading the audience and really seeing. And it to you, it's like, well, of course we should have this out in the open. I'm not hearing that she didn't already know this information. And it sounds like instead of it being her need to know, it was your need to tell. And I think that was the miscalculation there. And so she's probably not feeling as safe around you, because what else are you going to have the need to tell? Either that or she's punishing you. I don't know your niece, but she's keeping her distance. So if I were you, you've tried so many ways, you might just write a very short note and just say you realize that regardless of what the truth is, you were probably insensitive in your need to talk about it with her. and that you hope mm-hmm. that she will forgive you and that you guys can resume relationship.
I just wouldn't use the word probably because you don't want to ever apologize with anything close to if I did something wrong to hurt you or I probably. Jim, you have a thought here?
No, I think there's great power in apology, and I think I would write it because she, whether it's mm-hmm. right or wrong, she doesn't feel safe around you right now, Renee. But I also, you know, this is a, you're taking a step, so you might even want to add, because she's afraid you're going to come back at her again, even if you apologize. So you might take a step and say, hey, I'd love to go out for, you know, a meal or something with you, and we don't even have to talk about it if you don't want to. And then you don't bring it up. Let her, if she wants to bring it up, fine. But you may have to come back slowly so she can, in some ways, trust you. And you didn't mean this for harm, but apparently she took it as harm. So I find sometimes the apology is strong. Do it. You've done it, but write it. And then just, but without any expectation that you are going to, you know, continue to have this conversation. Maybe she'll bring it up when you're there, but don't. But, you know, keep your tongue, bite your tongue.
Yeah.
And let her bring it up if she must. But if not, then talk about other things. Expand the relationship beyond that one issue.
Mm-hmm. Renee, I think it would be very hard for you to see and confess to her what Jill said. I think it's the greatest potential for healing. If you were to say to her, as I look back on what I did, just in a short note, I felt a greater need to tell you than the need for you to know.
You had the need to know.
Then you had a need to know. I had a need to tell. I wish I had not. I wish you had found out a different way. I'm so sorry. I will always be restraining myself with everybody now on not telling people what I think I need to say.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and I'll tell you, it's tough, and it's hard to know how to communicate, and you know, sometimes we don't get it from our parents. I'm just going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to send Renee forgiving our fathers and mothers. Jill wrote that. You know, a lot of times we don't know how to communicate with another woman because mom didn't teach us. And we're still, you know, I tell everybody, probably say this more than any other thing, it's your job to get over your mommy and daddy. You just have to do it. And so many people haven't. Well, I'm glad that she called. We got to talk about that. Let's go to Richard from Los Angeles, California. Hey, Richard, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Good.
I guess I technically wouldn't be totally truthful, but I'm grateful. I guess that's a better answer.
Okay.
I'm grateful for God. Let's see. Okay, so my question was on the book, or in the book, there is a woman who was imagining her abuser.
Which book was this?
Yeah, what book?
In the Healing is a Choice.
Okay.
There's was an exercise where a woman was had trauma, where someone was a sexual abuse, and the exercise, she was supposed to visualize them in a chair and confronting them in their mind and expressing the anger and hurt.
Okay.
And it gave 10 steps and to grieve the loss. So my question was about if I wanted to turn that into a angry or sad letter so I can visualize and then journal it, because journaling is very helpful for me. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to, basically the main questions about that exercise were, they're very brief, is how many times for each person, so if I have a few people, how many times, like 15 or 20 times, how many minutes, so that's the length, and then the content. Like, if I just say I'm angry or sad or I feel rejected, that's only a few sentences, and it's way too short, so.
Okay.
To sum it up, how many
times,
how
many
minutes, and content.
Okay. Yeah. Give me an example of something that is still hurtful for you that you haven't fully forgiven yet.
Okay. Well, I'm in the process of forgiving, and to continue would be, let's see, if I mention one would be my stepfather.
Okay. And what did he do that needs forgiving?
I mean, there's multiple things, but which one is the most offensive, I guess?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or that I'm most angry, or
yeah,
is that
most.
He, when I, well, I won't go too much into it, but I have a severe long-term sickness, and I'm on a healing journey, and so far I have not been healed, and when I was living with him, when my mother and him were, I mean, they're separated now for this time being, and they, basically when I came to him saying I couldn't do things because I'm very sick and I'm trying to figure out what's going on, and he basically just says, stop reading health books, you look fine.
Uh-huh. Very uncaring.
And then he got in my face and basically act like I'm a hypochondriac or, uh-huh, or something. And then, of course, okay, my medical test, I'm not going to get into all that, but there's multiple dysfunctions that I'm okay on a healing journey for. And
all right. We can help you here. That's all we needed to know. That's all we need to know. And I understand there are many more things. But yeah, let me just say this. You do not want a man like that to be living inside of your head, right? You want to be totally free. You know, I do not think about my fourth grade teacher. She's not in my head until somebody says fourth grade or something, then I remember who that was. That's what you want with a mean, cruel, insensitive person that didn't like you when you were a child or younger. You're not younger now. You're older now, and you want to be free of that. So here's the way we get free. We go through a grieving process. And part of that would be kind of imagining him sitting in a chair and facing you and you saying all the stuff that he wouldn't even listen to you or want to hear from you. Things like, you really hurt me, and it was bad enough that you were very disrespectful of my mother, and then you acted like I didn't even have a problem. So you're expressing these things, and you're doing it, even saying to him, I'm not going to tell you this again, because I'm not going to think about this the way I have been. You're saying that to the empty chair. And for some people, that's very healing, and for other people, it isn't. But I would do the other exercise, too. I would write him a letter, and I would tell him, with this letter, I am telling you goodbye, and here's why. And then you write the things that were so hurtful to you. Now I'm going to tell you one other thing you need to do. You need to think about anybody that you've hurt. And while you're working through him hurting you, you need to go make it right with whomever you have hurt. At the end of both, you're going to be a different human being. You make it right with people that you need to make it right with, and you resolve what he will never make right. That's how we get to a place of freedom. But let's hear from Jill and Jim on this.
Well, I just wanted to add a piece prior to this, Richard, and that is, first, when you start the writing, you said journaling is very helpful to you. First, start by just writing it raw. Just put all your feelings down on paper. It doesn't matter if it's complete sentences or proper punctuation. Don't think about it as, this is the letter I'm going to give someone. You're just, you know, putting all of your feelings out there. And that is your rough draft. And then you can go over it and refine it if you do choose to send it. Also, when you are sharing, sometimes when you're sharing to the empty chair, sometimes having a trusted person in the room, you know, with like their hand on your shoulder, so that you feel the support, so that you can say the things you want to say. So, just
yeah,
wanted to
very
add
good,
things.
Jim. You
yeah,
no,
I just think you're real close, Richard. You were asking questions about time and length and all that stuff. I wouldn't worry about that at all.
Yeah,
and I'm with Jill. For some people, I would write it down. But some people need someone to coach them through that or counsel them through that. This isn't long-term counseling as much as just saying to somebody who could help you, because they do this all the time, help me get this out. And they can maybe even ask some probing questions that could help you. Mm-hmm. Somebody once said to me, you know, if you don't forgive someone, it's like you drinking rat poison and waiting for that other person to die. Well, you don't want to do that. So you want to go through the process, and you're halfway there. And either write it, look at the chair, have somebody else help you through it, but find the way for you to get that freedom, because there is freedom at the end of the tunnel when you do that. It's really healthy, and you're on the right road.
And go to our emotional freedom workshop next time we do it. That can help you kind of cement the deal there. Let's go to Trina, Lebanon, Pennsylvania is where she's calling from. Trina, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you. I'm just pulling onto the road right here so I can talk to you on my phone.
Great. Well, I'm glad you are. We hate to be responsible for accidents. What's going
thank
on?
You. Well, I've been married for 45 years to my husband, and 4 months ago, I found out that he had been involved in an adulterous affair for 36 years of my marriage.
Oh, boy.
And the length of time of one of our daughters.
Is he still involved? Is he still involved?
No.
How'd you find out?
He is not.
How'd you find out?
Two of my daughters discovered it through text.
Oh, boy.
Messages and other stuff. And I am deeply concerned about them, too. But I feel like on the airplane where you have to help yourself first before you can help your children.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
but anyway,
until they uncovered it, was he involved with this person until they uncovered these text messages?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And what did you require, when you found out, what did you require of him?
Well, even prior to my discovery, I would ask him, is there anything, because he just seemed to be withdrawing and not being
socially. But what did you require of him once you found out he was unfaithful?
I required of him to call her, and I stood over the phone, and I made him say it's over, and I also talked to her and said it's over.
Okay.
All
right, well, we're going to help you right after this break. I needed to get those facts there. I want to help you, and I think we can. You're listening to New Life Live, and just ask everybody to pray for Trina. What a horrible, horrible discovery.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, Dr. Jim Burns, Dr. Jill Hubbard. And right now we're having a conversation with Trina over the discovery of a long-term affair. And the last she said was that She got on the phone. He told her it was over. She got on the phone and told her it was over. Jill, how could we help?
Trina, I just want to say we are all really feeling for you. This is one of the hardest things ever. And this is your husband having a double life. I want you to know that this does not invalidate your life. You lived in a marriage as a faithful person. You had children. You raised them, right? He has lived a compartmentalized life and has had a lot of conflict in there. But you did life the way, you know, you wanted to, with integrity. So I want you to hold on to that. 6 months, it's still really fresh. I would love for you to take advantage of the things that we offer, because we know that this experience is horrific. And so that's why these workshops were developed. So for you to go to Restore, and then at the very, very least, he needs to go to Every Man's Battle. He needs to, this is major surgery time. He needs to be involved in things, therapy, a group that's ongoing, accountability, Every Man's Battle. But there needs to be a process of him looking at what he's done, because he has been able to compartmentalize and do it really, really well. I also want you to be aware that just because he made that call doesn't mean that it's over.
Right.
Right? It was a statement for you, and the fact he was willing to do that is good, but he was the kid that got caught, right? And so he's doing whatever he can to not rock his world, because he's used to living in this dual world.
Trina, can you see that he needs to do more than just say it's over? Do you see that he needs to get help for this or not? I say, I can't hear Trina.
He didn't need it. Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Well, it doesn't matter what he thinks. It matters what you demand of him.
We went for counseling. We are in counseling together.
Okay. That's really good, Trina. But look, Trina, getting counseling together is like saying we have a problem, and you guys do have a problem. But what must happen, I'm telling you, this is how it works best. He must admit this was his problem. He caused tremendous pain, and separate from the marriage counseling, he needs to create a program to build character. And he also, even if it was just symbolic, he would go to Every Man's Battle to say to you, I have hurt you for decades, and now I'm willing to do whatever I need to do to honor you, which I have not done. So if I were you, and if you need that counselor to help you, you say, yeah, we're here because we want to get this worked out. But you got us here. Your problem got us here. You're not accepting responsibility to get help for your problem, and you must do that. I would use the word must. And you're not the kind of person that uses that word very much. So you have to have strength, even if it's getting the children who discovered this to sit down with you and him and say, Dad, husband, you have to get some help, or it's only a matter of time, and it could be tomorrow, that you're back with this person or you're with another person. Because for 35 years, your character kept deceiving this woman. Jim, you have a thought here?
I would just say, Trina, make sure that you're hearing what they're saying. You're not responsible for his actions.
No.
Because you're not responsible for his actions, you also can't make him better. But you can say, if we're going to continue in this relationship, here's what I need from you.
Yeah.
And when you do that, again, you're not responsible for where he's going to go, because you don't know how the ending is going to be, but you're doing the right thing then, and that gives you the hope. If you don't do that, then you don't have much of a chance. It's been too long, but there is hope. If you, let's say he keeps coming through this. I mean, he has gotten counseling. He has come clean. There are certain things he's done that is good. However, if he doesn't, you know, the demands that you're going to make with him are right demands.
Yeah.
And it's going to help you, it's going to help him, and it's going to help your daughters.
And this needs to be ongoing help. 6 months isn't enough. And Trina, you cannot trust any of his words. He will try to get you back to a place of complacency. And so you only can trust what he does.
Yeah. His appropriate response would have been, I am so sorry. What do you need me to do? It wouldn't be, I don't think I need help. Trina, let me ask you this. What is your feelings? What are your feelings about divorce?
God doesn't want us to divorce.
Okay,
but
he does. That's right.
I know there's biblical justification for it.
Yeah.
Right. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. If he thinks that you would never divorce him, he may not do anything to keep the two of you together in a great marriage. He wouldn't want to rebuild it because, she'll never divorce me, you know, that kind of thing. Sometimes you have to change your mind and say, Jesus told me I have grounds for divorce, and I need to be forceful with him. He needs to believe I've got what it takes to get that divorce. That's your greatest chance of him changing and healing.
And it's Trina, weird, but can I also say that even though you're not at the point of heading towards divorce, please make sure that you have copies of everything, all of your assets.
Right.
Do that work so that you can be protected if this thing goes south.
Yeah, because you never know if he's kept a secret like this for 35 years. He might be also planning to leave you and go and marry her. Now, I'm going to send you Healing is a Choice. I want to talk to you about, I want our people to talk to you about every man's battle for him and restore for you. If you'll go to restore, your life is going to be different. And I want to help you get there. 1-800-NEW-LIFE for any of you that need help. Now I want to tell you something. In our politically free program, we say we always want to be free of all politics. And this is not political. But we've got an election coming up, and I just want to say to you, it is your Christian responsibility to vote. I don't care how you vote, but you need to vote. If you think things are going great and you want them to continue, you vote that way. If you don't think things are going great and you don't want things to continue the way they're going, vote that way. The point is, every person needs to vote. When you vote, you're saying, I care and I want this, whether it's same way or different way. When you don't vote, you're saying, I don't care. I don't care enough to express what I want, whether it's same or different. I wish, you know, we'd never want to shame people. I wish I could shame you into voting. I mean, really, whatever. It's just so important. You can vote early. You could vote today if you're not going to be able to vote on voting day. But please, hear my heart. We need to vote. We need to make a difference. We need to care. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.